I want to know Jesus better and better and better each day. And I want you as a congregation to know Him better and better and better each day. And to be honest with you, Jesus and His Father, our Father, want us to know Him better and better and better each day. Okay? So I'm going to preach this until Jesus comes or until He tells me go to something else. Okay? Because there's just so much involved in this. So today we're looking at a first passage of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be reading here in a minute. And the title of today's message is Eight Ingredients. Eight Ingredients for a Fruitful Life. Eight Ingredients for a Fruitful Life. Before I go there, do you think God has any favorites? He's not a respecter of persons. But we're going to find... So, in the beginning of this passage, it says that if you do these things, that grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. That grace means favor. Grace means favor. So, if you put these eight things in your life, then God is going to multiply the favor that you already have. He's going to multiply the peace that you already have. Okay? Justin, what's your favorite dessert?
Cherry cheesecake.
Cherry cheesecake. Whoo, that's a good one. Do you know what the ingredients are to make that? Or do you just eat it? You just eat it. Your wife knows the ingredients.
Yeah, probably.
You just eat it. Most of us men, we just eat it. We know we like it, we enjoy it, and we just eat it. We don't know what the ingredients are, but we know that when they're all combined together, comes out good. You know, my wife was making a cake the other day. You can tell I'm a contractor. My wife was making a cake the other day and went in the kitchen, man, and this aroma just starts going, ooh, man, I love it. Great. I don't know what all of the ingredients are, but I do know this. I like what she's cooking. Okay? She's a wonderful cook. And so I just enjoy, you may not can tell it, but I enjoy eating. Okay? Next week we're having a potluck, and I enjoy our potlucks because we have some of the best cooks in this church that you will ever find anywhere. I guarantee you. So anyway, getting along, going on. I want you to stand together, and I would like for us to read this passage of scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verses 1 through 9. And I'm going, if you will notice, there are some, go ahead and put that up, if you would, TJ. And I just want to say to TJ, thank you so much for what you're doing. You don't get a lot of recognition, but thank you for all that you do. You're a blessing to us. Now, I'm going to read the passage, I'm going to read the bold, I want you to read the italicized, if you can see it, okay? The italicized is verses 2 and 3, and also like verse 7. So, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of God and of our God and Savior Jesus Christ.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord,
as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us, man, my eyes are not good this morning, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love.
For if you, these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the reading of your word. And Lord, I'm praying for myself, but I'm also praying for this congregation today that we want to know you. We don't want to just know about you, but we want to know you. We want to know you like the apostles did. We want to know you like the disciples did when they were walking with you here on earth. And so, Lord, we are coming before you, and God, only you can grace us or favor us with that. And so, Father, today as we come before you, we ask that you would help us to be able to understand your word, to be able to implement it into our lives. Give us the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge to be able to accomplish what you have put in our hearts to accomplish. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. There are many of you in this congregation, and some of you I know better than other people, okay? Some people I get to kind of like rub elbows with here on Sunday morning. Others of you I've had in my office, and we've been able to share one with another, and I've gotten to know you a little better. Others of you have been here. I've been here 24 years. And some of you were here before I got here. Okay? And so I really know you at a deeper level, perhaps, than I know anyone else. Because we have shared life together. This passage of Scripture is such that when we begin to implement or begin to add these ingredients, these eight ingredients to our lives, that we can become one with Jesus Christ and we can know Him at a deeper level than we know Him now. Okay? The more I get to know Jesus, the more I want to know Him. The more I get to know you, most of you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The more I get to know you, the more I want to know you. You know, there's something about this body that brings life to me. And so, Peter says, if we put these eight ingredients in our life, we're going to not just know about Jesus, but we're going to come to a knowledge more than we have now regarding Jesus. You know, it's no wonder that Peter, John, and Paul, and other writers of the New Testament encourage us to know Jesus. How many of you would like to get to know Jesus better? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Peter says, if you will add these ingredients to your life, that you're going to be a sweet aroma to those around you. And people will see there's a difference in you than there are in others And they're going to be drawn not only to you, but they're going to be drawn to Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's look at these eight ingredients. Scripture says, Peter said, the first thing you have to have is faith. Okay? Faith is the beginning point. If you don't have faith in Christ, then you're not going to go very far in this knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how you get to know Him, is by receiving Him. That's the first thing you do. I want to ask you a question. It may not be the same for you as it was for me, but I know that in my personal journey that I wanted to find Jesus, I wanted to trust Him, but there was something, I had a mental block that kept me from understanding that until I was 22 years old and I received Christ as my Savior. When I received Him, there was just a peace that overwhelmed me. And it was like, man, there was nothing, I really can't describe it. Paul says it's an indescribable peace. How many of you experienced that whenever you received Christ as your Savior? Okay? All right, many of you, maybe some of you have experienced other things, but for me it was just an overwhelming peace, like the weight of the world was just taken off of my shoulders. Understanding came to me. And so when Peter talks about faith, part of it is that we need to give our lives to Christ. That's the first and foremost thing, because you're never going to get to know His Father nor Jesus Christ until you give your life to Him. Okay? Also, Scripture said it's without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But see, trusting Jesus as our Savior is just the beginning. It's not the end of faith, because I'm learning that every day I'm growing in faith. Every day the Lord allows me to be tested so that I can either trust Him or not trust Him. And so in your own personal life, you're going to find that through your tests that you're either going to draw close to Him or you're going to withdraw from Him. Scripture also says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That means that we know there's something in your heart that you just know, that you know. You can't see it physically, but you know in your heart that this is what God has planned for you. And so you're going to walk it out because you just know that you know that you know. And knowing will eventually bring the evidence to light. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, but many times we go through difficult situations and our faith wanes. Things take place in our life. Sometimes it's horrible situations that takes place in our life. And our faith is tested. And sometimes we wonder, is the faith that I put in God, can I hold on to that? Is the God that I trusted, can I still trust Him in this situation? Have you ever been there? Okay. And so many people, because of that, they withdraw from the church for a while, and they withdraw. It's almost like they live in a world of hopelessness. But I want to encourage you, if you're there this morning, there's hope. And what you need to do is find someone who can come beside you, pray with you, encourage you, and strengthen you, and help get your feet back established on the solid ground. Because if you are there this morning, you're on shaky ground. Okay? And the world feels like an earthquake. But the Lord God is the only one who can help you wherever you are this morning, whatever difficulty you're going through. And I want to encourage, as hard as it may be, to trust Him. I encourage you to trust Him. Put your faith in Him. People have let you down, but God never will.
That's right.
He never will. There may be some things that go on in your life and you wonder, God, why did you let this happen to me? And some things we will never understand, perhaps, till we get to heaven. But where else can you go? Where else can you go? And so you need to add faith and keep on adding faith and keep on adding faith and keep on adding faith until... Did you know that sometimes, and I know you know this, but your faith is tested at times, you know? So what are you going to do when your faith is tested? You need to determine that today, because there will be a time whenever your faith is tested. So what are you going to do when your faith is tested? Are you going to run away? Or are you going to run to Jesus? Are you going to hide from the body? Or are you going to hide in the body? What are you going to do? Add to your faith virtue. Now, the word virtue means moral excellence. So I'm going to ask you a question. And you don't have to answer this out loud. Do you speak and act differently at church? Than you do in the world? You don't want nobody telling on him. You know, the one thing about children is that they like to tell truth, don't they? If I ever want to know what's going on in a home, all I have to do is ask a kid. And I can find out a lot of stuff. So, when we're talking about moral excellence, we're talking about the things that come out of our mouth. And we're talking about our behavior. Okay? And I would just say this. If your behavior and jokes and words that are spoken... I don't... Boy, time's getting away. But if you, there's not a lot of people that gossip at church.
Depends on the church.
Well, at least I don't hear it. Okay? So let me, again, if you do things differently in the world than you do at church, you probably need some virtue in your life. Okay? So add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, you begin adding the ingredient of knowledge. There are people who begin adding knowledge before they get virtue. And it's hard for me to listen to them. If they're not living for the Lord, it's hard for me to hear what they're saying about the Lord if they're not living for the Lord. Okay? Because oftentimes spiritual pride is built in their lives, and it's just very difficult for me. They may be saying some really neat stuff about the Lord, but if they're living a worldly life and trying to tell me about Jesus, it's hard for me to get that. Okay? I remember going to a fellow's home I'd been working with for a while. Knocked on his door, and I could tell he had been either drinking or smoking pot or something by his demeanor. But he had a bunch of friends in his house, and he was preaching Jesus to them. And I'm thinking, shut your mouth. Just don't say anything. I would rather a person not say anything and not be trying to testify about Jesus if they're not living a life that's conducive to the Word of God. Now, we're all growing, I guarantee you. And you know, the best thing you can do is when you mess up, and we're all going to mess up, the best thing you can do is say, man, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. We have some wonderful things going on in our church that can help increase your knowledge about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and increase your knowledge about your walk with the Lord. Sunday mornings, we have life groups at 9:30. We have some tremendous facilitators in that. Encourage you to get in on that. Increase your knowledge. Another thing we have is on Wednesday nights, at 6 o'clock, we pray together, but also we come together and do Bible study. And usually we're talking about what took place on Sunday morning and kind of go deeper in that study on Wednesday nights. I would encourage you to be a part of that. You can increase your knowledge. And not, you don't just get to hear from me on Wednesday night. There's others who are able to add what the Lord has shared with them as well. I want to encourage you that there are some good Christian authors out there that would increase your knowledge too if you would embrace that and begin reading about reading some of their material. Also, last but not least, the Word of God. Increase your knowledge by getting in the Word of God. Now, at the beginning, all of you said, I want to increase my knowledge in Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do about that? Peter said, if you'll add these 8 ingredients, that you will increase in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. The next one is self-control. Add self-control. I hear a lot of groans. Add self-control. Control. There was a study done in 1960, in the 60s, and there was a control group. 4-year-olds were brought into this control group, and a marshmallow was given to each one of them, or a cookie, an Oreo, or something else. And they were told that if you wait 15 minutes, you'll get 2. So, you'd eat half the marshmallow. Yeah. As soon as the instructor left the room, 1/3 of the kids grabbed the marshmallow. They just started eating. 1/3 waited a little while, and then they ate the marshmallow. 1/3 waited for the 15 minutes, and they got 2 marshmallows. So this is the results that they determined, that those who waited for the second marshmallow possessed the habits of successful people. This is the Beachman 2009. They were positive, self-motivated, and persistent in their pursuit of goals. These habits point to successful marriages, higher incomes, and better health. The study also showed that the participants who did not wait earned lower SAT scores, were indecisive, less confident, and stubborn. All predictors of unstable marriages, low incomes, and poor health. A similar and more recent longitudinal study showed that preschoolers who exhibited high levels of delay of gratification later displayed greater cognitive control than teens who had exhibited lower levels of delay of gratification during preschool. So let me ask you a question. How self-controlled are you? So I'm going to give you a test. Are you a compulsive buyer? A compulsive buyer, not liar. Maybe we ought to have the invitation running. Are you a compulsive buyer? Are you willing to wait until you have the money in the bank before making fun purchases? No. Okay. I heard somebody say, no, I'm not. Do you interrupt people as they're speaking? Do you find yourself exploding in anger only to try to clean it up afterwards? Do you have road rage? So just kind of, you know, just laying it out there. And there may be some other things that you need to address regarding your self-control. But if you start adding self-control to your life, it's going to help you get to know Jesus better. Here's what I'm thinking. These are attributes that Jesus had. He never had road rage. There was a kid one time who said, Dad, can I drive the car? He said, no, son, you can't drive the car. You need to walk. And so the kid kept on. Dad, can I drive the car? You know, I forgot the joke. Let's go on. Next one, perseverance. Perseverance. I'll have to look at it and tell you next week. Okay. Perseverance. Sometimes things just leave my brain.
Next week,
two jokes. All right. The next ingredient we need to add to our life is perseverance. And this is the ability to just keep on going even when you want to quit. Okay? Just keep on going even when you want to quit. Has there ever been a time in your life when you stopped pursuing the Lord? Maybe there was a difficult time in your life, or life just got busy and you stopped pursuing the Lord. Life made a turn and you began maybe questioning God. You questioned your faith. Maybe one time you felt like God had a special ministry for you. And you know, let me just say this. I want everybody to see me because this is very important. If you feel like God has a special ministry for you, you will be tested to see how your endurance is going to hold up, to see if you're going to persist. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's life. And oftentimes we grow during those difficult seasons so that we can be prepared for the ministry that God has for us. Okay? So if you feel like maybe in the past, you know, I felt like God had a special ministry for me and I got tested and I kind of went by the wayside. Let me tell you that God hasn't lost his vision for you. It's still there. And he wants to raise that up within you again. But again, you're going to be tested. Okay? And this time, you need to persevere. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep on going. Never cry uncle. Okay? Do you know what that means? Never cry uncle. Okay. Never cry uncle. That was a term we used in Mississippi when my brother and I fought. And whoever cried uncle first.
Oh.
You got it?
Mississippi.
Yeah. So never quit, never give up, never cry uncle. I have a friend named Larry Hamilton. You know him. He's been here several times preaching. He may have shared this story, and so he can share it a whole lot better than I can. But he was over in a foreign country one time, and he got and ministering, and he was in a... It had something to do with a witch doctor. They got into this, you know, spiritual thing. And when he got back into the States, he discovered that his wife had cancer. Terminally ill, was supposed to only live like 6 months. And Larry said, if that's what the devil's going to do, I'm going to kick it up a notch. And I'm going to go all out for the Lord. And I'm going to make the devil pay for what he's doing. And so Larry's been all over the world, I guess, able to share his faith in Jesus Christ. He's been in many countries of the world. I don't know about all over, many countries of the world. Able to share. And his wife, I think that was like 16 years ago. She's still alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, I just want to kick it up a notch. Okay? Persevere. 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 Don't quit. Don't stop. Just keep persevering. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. Add to self-control perseverance, and add to perseverance godliness. Very quick. Do you know that you become like the people you're close to? So what if, private joke here, what if you get close to God in your worship, in your prayer, and in your praise? Who do you think you're going to become like? That's the only way to get godliness. It's something about being close to God that he kind of rubs off on you. And you begin taking on the humility, and you begin taking on the attributes of God just because you're in his presence. Okay? So add to your... Add this element, add this ingredient to your life of godliness. And again, that means you're going to have to take some time to make that happen. Every one of us are busy. Sandy, how many hours in a day do you have? Yeah, 24. Good answer. All of us have 24 hours in a day. Work eats up a lot of that time. But in order to add godliness to your life, you're going to have to spend some time with the Lord. You have to. In praise, in prayer, and in worship. Okay? You have to. Add to your faith these things, and add to godliness brotherly kindness. There's a special bond that we have here at this church with one another. People say we're like a family. We are a family. Okay? And we want to have other people in our family. It's not like we're a closed group. We want to continue to adopt people into our family. Okay? Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Okay? And I believe that we have a love for one another that's just continuing to grow day after day after day after day. When somebody has a need, whether it's a physical need, a financial need, or whatever kind of need, I believe we as a church come around that person and assist them in whatever. Many prayers are answered, whether it's job situations, whether it's physical ailments, whatever it is, prayers are answered because we as a church are in agreement. We come before the Lord in agreement. Add to these things brotherly kindness. And the last one is, we need to love. Love those who are outside of the body of Christ. Did you know that they need something we have? Also, that only we can give them what they need. We need, if we're not growing in this area, we're not going to be growing in the manner in which the Lord has us to grow. Okay? Scripture says, if we grow in these things, we'll continue to add these ingredients to our life, then we will become fruitful in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if we don't, we become very short-sighted. We can't see past the hand in front of our face. Our vision becomes messed up. We can't see things clearly. If we don't add these things to our life, we begin seeing only what's around us physically, and we don't begin to see into what God has for us. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. Of the 8 ingredients mentioned in Peter, which ingredient or ingredients do you feel like you need to begin adding right now? Self-control. Okay, that's a pretty big one. Perseverance. Pardon?
Knowledge.
Okay? So it'll be different for each one of us. I think I need to add more godliness to my life. Second question is, what is your plan to implement this ingredient in your life? You need to come up with a plan, because if you don't have a plan, it probably won't be implemented. Okay? All right. I asked you in the beginning, how many of you want to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? And practically every one of you raised your hand. If you don't begin implementing the ingredients, then you're not going to grow in your knowledge. Okay? Peter outlines it very well. Do you want to grow in your life? Do you want to grow in favor? Do you want your favor of God, the grace of God, and the peace of God to be multiplied unto you? Then we have to put these ingredients in our lives. We have to. I don't want you and I don't want me to be the same place next year that I am this year, or that you are this year. Okay? But in order for us to be in a different place, we have to work. Don't expect the Holy Spirit to do it all. But I tell you what, when we do our part, He will definitely do His part.